The Philippines president, Rodrigo Duterte, won the May election, promising to crack down on corruption and drug crime. Human rights groups have condemned his alleged use of death squads to eliminate drug dealers. Reuters reports that up to 800 people have been killed since he was sworn in as president last month. But as Ana Maria Reyes reports, the Catholic Church has begun its own campaign to restrain the president based on the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill.
There will be no let up in this campaign. We will not stop until the last drug lord, the last financier, and the last pusher have surrendered or put behind bars or below the ground, if they so wish.
The new Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte in his first State of the Nation speech last month. Since then, he's earned the nicknames Executioner, Punisher and Duterte Harry, a pun on the Clint Eastwood character with a reputation for violent solutions to crime. President Duterte isn't playing entirely by the book either. And in the name of cracking down on the illicit drug trade, his calls to violence have been seized on by vigilantes and death squads. In the 6 to 7 weeks since he took over the presidency, it's believed as many as 800 people have been killed or executed, including more than 200 by vigilante groups.
In the first 4 months of this year, there was, I think it was 29 people have been killed, or supposed drug dealers, but you never know whether they actually dealers or just users, or whether they're even involved in drugs at all. They might be just the enemy of the local police chief or something. But since Duterte has been elected president, there's been something like 525 killed. Most of them have been killed by police, and there's no due process whatsoever taking place. They're suspected of being either a dealer or a user. They're shot.
Peter Jennings, who worked in the Philippines for 10 years, as executive officer of the ACTU's aid agency, AFIDA, he managed aid projects across the Philippines. He was also a parish priest in the impoverished region of Mindanao, where Duterte himself hails from. According to Human Rights Watch, while Duterte was mayor of Davao City in Mindanao, he presided over the murder of 1,000 people, including children as young as 14. During his presidential campaign, he publicly admitted his relationship with death squads and said he'd execute 100,000 more criminals and dump their bodies in Manila Bay. The huge and rising death toll since he came to power has so alarmed the Catholic Church that it's launched a campaign, Thou Shalt Not Kill, in an attempt to call Duterte to account. Catholic Bishops' Conference of the Philippines spokesperson, Bishop Roderick Pabilio.
There is also fear among the people because of what's happening around. There are so many people being killed and indiscriminately, supposedly in the name of fighting against drugs, but we are not sure. And there is no one held accountable for these killings. The killings are indiscriminate, and we don't know whether these people are really involved in drugs or not. And we already hear of some news of mistaken identity.
People are terrified because of cases of mistaken identity and because many victims' bodies have been left on the street for the public to see. Whether killed by the police or by vigilante groups, the media is struggling to keep up. And it's been publishing graphic images of bodies, some showing telltale signs of torture and mutilation. The mounting fear among families affected by the drug shootings was clear. When only a handful turned up for a mass held by Bishop Pabilio for the families of those who'd been killed.
The mass was a mass for the souls of those who were killed. The mass was a mass for the families who are left behind, to console them and to pray for them. What's wrong now is that the culture of death, that these people are being killed, that death is the solution to a problem.
I've been shocked over recent years of the amount of drugs that are happening in the Philippines at the moment. It's escalated, it's ballooned, it's exploded throughout the Philippines. And it's almost all of its methamphetamines, because they're very cheap to produce, so they can be sold cheaply. The problems with methamphetamines, or ice as we call it here, or shabu as they call it up there, it's highly addictive. So once you use it a couple of times, you're hooked, you can't get off it. The growth of drugs has become unbelievable in the Philippines. And so among the people of the Philippines, the ordinary person, the two big issues are poverty and drugs. And if some politician comes along and promises to solve those two problems, they will follow them. Now it's just drug wars going on everywhere.
Duterte's campaign to wipe out drugs appears to have had results among the poor, who account for 70% of the population. Tens of thousands have handed themselves in to avoid being killed. But Bishop Abilio says Duterte's campaign has targeted the poor, while the wealthy are afforded due process.
At least for these people, for the high-ranking officials, they're still alive. Whereas for the poor people, they are just merely being shot, without even asking the names.
The Philippines, as you know, is very divided between a small number of very, very wealthy people and the vast majority who are poor. And the poverty in Mindanao is probably greater than in the centre of the country, in the Visayas, or the north of the country on the island of Luzon. The vast majority of farmers in the Philippines do not own their own land, they're tenant farmers. So most of what they produce goes to the landlord, and they live on, you know, sometimes half of the crop or sometimes even less than that, because they have to pay for the inputs often, you know, the seeds and fertilizers. There are very few industries in Mindanao. Most of the people that live there would be either farming or fishing.
After years of entrenched poverty, Bishop Abilio says many Filipinos were hungry for change and saw something new in Duterte. The new president's strongman persona, combined with his humble beginnings, is perceived by many as a reflection of ordinary Filipinos' day-to-day reality. He was the only presidential candidate speaking out against corruption and the scourge of ICE addiction that has gripped the country. And where he came from, he's regarded as a local hero.
He came from a poor background. He came along promising to solve the problem of poverty and promising to solve the problem of drugs. And so because of that, he won an overwhelming victory in the election.
I understand that there was a lot of anger. What were the people angry about, in your opinion?
They were angry about the fact that the claim that there is supposed to be the economy is good, is improving, and yet so many people are poor. They're angry about the fact that many of their concerns are not being addressed, like the concern on poverty. The concern of the indigenous peoples, that their homes, their environment is being destroyed by mining. So there's a great disconnect of the people with the government then.
During the presidential campaign, the church issued a statement calling on the electorate to vote for candidates who would fight corruption. I asked Bishop Abilio if this sent the wrong message to the electorate about who to vote for in this deeply Catholic country.
No, we continue to support his work against corruption. That's why we say we are not against Duterte as a person. But this particular aspect of killing people in the name of fighting drugs is wrong.
So far, Duterte has ignored the powerful Catholic Church in the Philippines. So can it call him to account?
Yes, we admire in other things that he's doing. His cabinet, it's also made of people from the right and the left. It's something good. We don't know how much he's involved, but at least by his pronouncements, he's encouraging it. And people are being encouraged to kill. So you have to speak now.
Anna Maria Reyes reporting, and I'm Andrew West, and this is the Religion and Ethics Report.